The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
It's spelled Orion, O-R-I-O-N.
Orion's belt.
It could go either way.
Yeah.
It's a judgment call.
Orion, let us know how you would like your name pronounced, and let's see who's closer, me or Paul.
There should be an apostrophe in there, if that's what he's going with.
You're funny. Oh, baby, when you're 50 and you got to read Twitter handles, it could be a disaster. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's a disaster when you're 40, too, so I'm not trying to totally blame you. But what's up?
How you doing?
Everybody good? Paulie Burmeister, Chris Sims. Chris Sims Unbuttoned, presented by Under Armour. The only way is through. We always appreciate them. That's great. And I think we got an update on how to properly pronounce this. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because, guidance.
You know, there's Simsisms on Pro Football Talk. We're hoping to build on Paulisms.
I have my own guess.
Or something. Yeah. I mean, you know, with Matt the W, a.k.a. Matthew.
That'll never be topped.
Never. And now we have Orion or Orion. Yes. I don't know. So let's go. Okay. Pete, we got that? Can we go to the videotape here?
If it's all right, that leads to a question that we have from Orion Chuzzlewit. I still think that we should Google that. I just feel like that's probably something we shouldn't say.
At Orion Chuzz?
Orion Chuzzlewit.
Leave it to Florio to get it right.
Yeah, Florio got it right. Well, again, another 50-year-old is not sure about the handles on Instagram or Twitter.
A couple of things here. Okay. Yes. First of all, your podcast is getting in the way of my conversations. I was talking to people around you.
Yeah.
You want to start.
Yeah. Well,
it's just interrupting.
Yeah. We'll tell one of the producers that the show, one of the podcasts he produces
it's his
is
podcast,
going.
So yeah.
Get the hell out of the way.
Number two, I had two horrible grades in college. They were both of the science things that I had to take. So, University of Iowa, liberal arts, you got to take all these things.
Yeah, sure. Texas.
My two
same
science
way.
Courses were just awful. One of them was astronomy. Yeah. So, like, I had to rally to get a C-. I mean, like, it was third and 24. And I had to come up with a play.
Astrology?
Astronomy.
Oh, astronomy. Sorry.
I believe that's where Orion comes in.
Yes.
Correct?
100%. Let alone in many other movies and things like that as well.
It's quite likely I missed that day.
That's right.
Okay.
Blame it on Iowa. That's
it's true.
Right.
I'm not proud, but
blame it on
true.
Your education. All right. I mean, I guess what they taught you about cornfields out there. What else? I don't know.
How'd you do with your science prerequisites
there? Man,
it can't be good.
No, it wasn't good. I remember I needed a tutor for that class, actually.
You needed a tutor.
I
could have used one.
I think I want to say maybe two science classes I had to take when I was in Texas, kind of the same thing. And I remember being pretty clueless in one and really needed help, right?
Yeah.
And I was not ashamed of getting a tutor in college, like not at all. Like, you know, I know I'm smart. I know some things I'm not that smart at.
You had other things you were doing.
And that's exactly right, too. See, the danger of the University of Texas is this.
It's big.
The classes are big.
Yes.
You don't always have to go. And once I got done with my freshman year, I didn't miss classes much. I got very good grades. I think I got straight A's my freshman year in college.
Wow.
And so they kind of like backed off me.
Yeah.
And if
this
they checked
good.
On me,
let him be.
If they checked on me in classes from there on after, I might have been not on the football team. I don't know. But I always made sure I signed up for two things. One, a big class so I can attend when I wanted to. And then two, I was really big into I don't want any of my teammates in my classes. I don't want
why?
Because somebody was going to check on some of them, and I didn't want to get busted because they were checking on
that's just
another
savvy.
Guy. I know. I'm savvy.
Well done. Yeah.
And then I used to pull up my car right to the front of the class and get a ticket every week.
Every time.
Almost
I think
every
I
time.
Still have parking tickets back in Iowa City.
My dad used to get so pissed.
Yeah.
Oh, Christopher,
Christopher, I mean, I could have got you a personal chauffeur by now with all the tickets you're making me pay here. No, Dad, I'm on scholarship. Don't worry. Yeah. You'll be okay. You're winning still.
Yeah.
That's what I used to say.
So I think every time I mispronounce a name, because it'll happen again.
Yeah, of course,
I mean,
it will.
Maybe like you have some fun with it. Like that person gets something,
yeah,
or I have to do something.
Sure.
Because there's another one coming.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but it's definitely going to come. Yeah. I know. It's like
Might
me
today.
With Simsisms. I mean, I'm going to butcher something.
Correct.
Today
I hope. I hope so.
Today I said bite your nose despite your face.
Bite it?
Instead of bite it. Exactly right. And I knew I'd kind of said it wrong, but couldn't really figure out what I said. And Florio was like, well, wait, how do you bite your own nose off? And I was like,
how'd you finish it? Bite your nose to what?
Spite your face.
Despite
instead of
your
cut
face.
Your cut your nose off to spite your face, right?
Awesome.
That's the saying. Yeah,
save
I'm really
those
good at
for our time.
I will.
Okay?
You just got to keep listening.
Yeah.
They'll come. Don't you worry.
Okay, so that's the science portion.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
it. Where you want to go here?
Mispronunciation portion of the podcast.
It's the What the Fuck Happened Wednesday podcast. Here we go, baby. We go.
A number of things as we watch the games together on Sunday. Pop questions that I thought about. We got to hit this on Wednesday.
Yep.
I think a good place to start, Bill's offense. Number one scoring offense in the NFL, didn't score a touchdown against Jacksonville. That's alarming in and of itself.
Yes, it is.
They also didn't score a touchdown the first half last week against Miami. So
right.
it's approaching, at the very least, a little mini pattern.
Uh-huh.
So before we get up to the and watch some film here, we have a question, and I'm going to get this one correct.
Yeah.
Okay, this is at Tom Brady's booty.
Oh, well, that's an easy one.
I know that's right. Pete,
help
me out.
Spoken truly by a Buffalo Bills fan there.
So at Tom Brady's booty says, Bills fan here, of course. Why do you think our offense is hurting so much? We've added talent, kept the same staff, good point, but our offense and red zone percentage have taken huge hits this season.
Yeah, well, I think there's a few things. First off, where I've been trying to tell people at Tom Brady is booty, and I don't know, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, booty's kind of popular in the world right now, so that could be a big thing, good thing, but I think it's a negative.
Could be either.
Yeah, it could be either.
Yeah.
But here's the first thing that I keep trying to tell people, and it's a good question. The talent is not as good as how it's perceived or what people think. You know, I know you've heard me say this. I've said this to Florio a lot. You know, I feel like people are finally starting to come around a little bit here. You know, the offense is Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. That's it. You know, again, Cole Beasley, good player, great third, fourth wide receiver. Emmanuel Sanders in your ideal world is your third or fourth wide receiver too. You don't want him to be your number two. You don't. It's year 12. He doesn't separate from people the same way. All right. So there's that aspect. You know, the other aspect is, hey, when you're one of the best offenses in football, people study you. Mm-hmm. They do. They mm-hmm. check you out. They start to like, wait, what did they do to us? You know, and then, of course, it becomes like a thing of like, oh, wait, okay, this team had some success. Let's kind of steal their game plan, go from there. They can't run the ball at all.
They're certainly not trying to.
They're not even trying to. Their best runner is Josh Allen, period.
That's a problem.
I mean, he's been the leading rusher, I think, two out of the last three games. One of the games he wasn't, he was only off by like a yard from being the leading rusher. There's been a number of games like that through the year. The other thing I'd like to say, too, Paul, is the offense has been overrated all season long. And I know I said this a little on Monday, but I want to hit it again. You know, I do. I wish I could show everybody, like, the Dolphins game where they won 35-0. You know, it wasn't easy. They didn't do anything special. They were set up by great field position all game long that game. I promise you, you know I love Josh Allen and Brian Daboll and the Bills. If it was awesome, I'd be telling you it was awesome. That was that game. The Washington football game the next week was still a lot of sputtering. Defense put them in a few good positions. And, hey, listen, I know Josh Allen's going to make a few plays to put some points on the board no matter what. But I'm just telling you it's not the absolute machine we saw last year or for some other great offenses. Houston, Texas, 40-0. You know, as I said Monday, that game was like 3-0 early in the second quarter. And again, it was a bunch of Davis Mills interceptions and plays like that that set up short fields for Buffalo. I've been trying to say this, and then you mentioned Miami last week, that it's not the well-oiled machine that we think it is, and they ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw last Sunday.
It's easy to be misled with this team and think it is a juggernaut or that it's coming easy because the numbers that you look at that matter, are they winning? Yeah, they're winning a lot.
Right.
Are they scoring? They're scoring more points than every team in the NFL.
Right.
Could easily lead most of us to believe that it is working maybe better than those numbers would have us believe.
Sure, right.
My question is, and Brian Daboll is a name you mentioned just a moment ago, offensive coordinator. He's somebody that's been praised on this podcast.
Right.
The numbers say he ought to be praised.
Right.
I know they're not wonderful with their playmakers, but with Josh Allen's talent and with an offensive coordinator that you like and they have familiarity, why can't he scheme more people open, even if those second, third, fourth, fifth options aren't all pro kind of players?
I'm a little surprised by that, too. I mean, I can't lie. I do think people have kind of taken, like, the Chiefs approach with them a little bit, where they're just like, well, they can't run the ball.
Cover two, backing
up. Let's just back off and let's see if they can be patient. They might mess it up. You know, we'll see what Josh Allen does. You know, Daboll has shown me enough in his years in Buffalo that he does have an inventory of offense to throw the ball short, a.k.a. like the New England Josh McDaniels way. They've gotten away from that. I don't know what the reason is. I do think there has to be a little bit more of like, let's get back to that, because I think it'll help some of the plays we really like. You know, they can't protect, you know, so I don't know if that's affecting some of the play calling. Brian Daboll has had a very tough year personally, I'll say that too, to where maybe that's affected him a little bit. And I'm not trying to make excuses for the guy. That's just the reality
it's
of the
reality.
Nature.
It's real, yeah.
Right? You know, Dawson Knox has been hurt. So I think it's a little bit of all the things we just mentioned there. But, yeah, they're a team that, again, it's two Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs-centric. I'm not giving up on them yet because, of course, Allen's too talented. I have too much respect for Sean McDermott.
They have an iron grip on that division right now.
We think. We're getting close, though. I'm not sure. I mean, you know, them playing New England's not going to be an easy task because how much New England's improved over the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And I guess why I say I don't give up yet is because I've seen the offense enough to go, wait, I think he's got some answers and can fix some things within their scheme to maybe get a little more efficient on the offensive side of the ball. But this was a game where we saw, good defensive game plan. All the issues with the offense kind of came to a head. Jacksonville, as I've said before in the podcast, is more talented than people want to give them credit for. And Josh Allen got a little impatient and tried to go, I'm going to take this over, instead of like somebody getting in his ear and going, we're going to have to win 15-9 today.
Yeah.
It's just not working that good. Take care of the ball. Well, if we got to kick field goals, that's great. Our defense has got them. So let's just play and win an ugly game. I respect Buffalo because they're always like, no, let's just keep putting the pressure on you. But this is one where it came back to bite them in the ass.
I want to ask one more question. Yeah. I think is going to set up what we're going to see here about the running game. And I know the offensive line deserves to be questioned right now.
Yeah.
But there's no commitment to the running game.
No,
top two running backs, 9 carries for 22 yards.
Yeah, right.
And you can say, well, if they're not producing, then why go to it? Other teams are getting the rush attempts just to make the quarterback better.
All the time, right?
Look at Monday night. Najee Harris, wonderful young player, but I think it was 22 carries, 64
yards,
less than 3 yards per carry, but they kept doing it.
Right.
It made the rest of their offense better. The Patriots do that.
Sure.
We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Doubt.
So is the O-line, are the running backs that bad where they can only get them 9 carries a game in a close game?
No, I mean, listen, I think you make a lot of valid points. We talk about a lot, right? We're both believers in attempts as a thing.
Yeah.
Like the attempts doesn't always have to be successful.
Right.
But if you just keep that defense, like, all right, we got to respect it. We can't just drop back and play pass defense all the time. The reason teams do that right now in football is because it creates explosive plays off of it. You know, we've talked about that a lot over the last 2 years. Play action pass is the way to go for explosive plays. But I think this is where we should go to the videotape a little bit here. And because this is, to me, I think what's happening and why they're just so discouraged.
I think this first play is a run play, correct?
It is. Yeah, it's a run play.
First quarter, all tied at 3. Go ahead.
And again, this I could have really picked just about any run play from the game. And I think this is why they're giving up on it so quickly, is the sheer fact that, I mean, I'm going to stand up, Kristen. You know, here we are. It's tight end to the left, 2 receivers to the left, 1 receiver at the top of the screen, and it's Zach Moss behind Josh Allen. And, yeah, they're going to run just like a little weak side zone play here to the right side. But, like, what I want everybody to pay attention to is just, like, the offensive line. Or let me get it right on the line of scrimmage. Here's the line of scrimmage. Who's going to win that battle right there? Who's going to win that battle? Okay. I mean, there's not much push. There's a Roy Robertson Harris, already busted through the left tackle, Deion Dawkins. It is in the backfield. There's nothing over here to the right side that's gaining any ground or pushing the Jacksonville Jaguars back. And to me, this just kind of symbolizes their issue right now in the run game. Their run game,
It's just never anything positive. It's almost always negative right now. It's almost always like, wait, all right, we ran it on first and 10, but it's second and 10. Mm. Or we ran it on first and 10, but it's second and 12 now. And I think that's where they've gotten a little exhausted by it. And then, of course, it becomes like an issue too, Paul, because you know how it goes. It's a little bit like Pittsburgh last year. You start to abandon it, and now you don't work at it that much at practice. The attitude's kind of gone. This is something that's instilled in you a little bit throughout the year, and now they've gotten away from it so far, I don't know if they can recapture that again. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest issue.
Do you think it's sustainable for them to win at the level they have been and for the level they want to win later in the winter?
No.
When he's throwing it 47 times, the running backs are running it 9 times.
No. This is one of the reasons, I didn't think they would be the number one seed in the AFC playoffs this year because I just went – I don't know if it's realistic to think Josh Allen drop back, us pick you apart – and him make magical plays to get you to the Super Bowl. To me, I mean, no, I don't think that is. Okay, that's cool if you have Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce to go along with it. Fine. But you just got Stephon Diggs. The rest of these guys are just solid football players. So that's their first reason, I think. And it's, again, I don't know how many – I forget how many rushes they had in the game. But
top two running backs carried it 9 times.
Right. There's just it's domination. So I think that's where McDermott and company are just like, the hell with it.
Yeah.
Let's just go with our best guy and see if he can make plays. And, of course, this was a game he did not make as many plays as we're accustomed to seeing.
And then you get pass happy. As I mentioned, 47 attempts. We'll see him. He's wrapped up here. I think our next peak is going to be at the passing game.
Yeah.
And at this point here, third quarter, 5 minutes left, still tied at 6.
Well, okay. So now running game has like, what's up, dude? The running game has no, merit to the defense.
Yeah.
None. People are playing Buffalo, and they're literally going like, hey, linebackers, you don't need to fast slow here. Just be careful. If you see a run fake, be ready to drop out. They're going to try to throw a crosser behind you, something of that. This is a thing I see every week. They never get any they're running here. Let's fast flow and get downhill and crush them. No, everybody kind of slow plays it. Maybe one step, get out because it's really a pass. They kind of know now at this point. There's nothing there to be scared. Okay, it's 5 offensive linemen. It's 4 defensive linemen. The 4 defensive linemen are winning more times than they're not. So that's the other aspect. So here you're going to have play action fake, him drop. Diggs are going to try to hit behind the linebackers here. I think I got that right. And what I want everybody to watch is the 2 middle linebackers and just the reaction. You know, here this is, I think, Wilson, and that's Miles Jack, who I have a lot of respect for Miles Jack. I mean, again, not on a good team, one of the best middle linebackers in football. But you see here, it's one step. So continue to watch these 2 middle linebackers. There's a run fake. The quarterback has his back turned to the football, right? The other thing that is killing them is this right here. The offensive line, they don't always marry their run fakes with a running play. They're in a pass set already. They're in a pass set. Right. So you have that issue. And now, look at the linebackers. Look what they did. One, they didn't even take a full step. They took a shuffle up to go, wait, maybe they'll run it. Okay, nope, it's not. I can see the O linemen are not really run blocking. Boom, let me get back. And there's nothing there. And then to compound the problem, here's again the other issue with the football team. They don't pass protect very well. They don't. And Darrell Williams whiffs here on who's number 5 again, Pete, when you get to it? Ford. I can't remember his first name. And, he beats Rudy Ford. Thank you very much. Rudy Ford beats Darrell Williams like he's Lawrence Taylor. It's not even close. So, again, maybe Josh Allen could have thrown the check down to the tight end here. But he's still wait, I'm going through 1-2 right now. I'm not expecting to have to get there. And, of course, now he's got to dodge the guy, and he tries to get out of down, and, of course, they sack him. So, Ford, the defensive back, right. So there we go. So there's another element of run game doesn't work. It's actually gotten so bad that the play action pass holds no water anymore.
Right.
All right. And that element is scary, I'm sure, to Daboll and McDermott right now as far as what they're doing there.
So run game not working.
Yeah.
You're throwing it all the time,
right.
More and more and more.
Uh-huh.
I've heard you mention this a couple times. It has led Josh Allen to kind of revert a little bit to some of the things he used to do.
Yeah, we've seen some of the crazy crap. We're seeing crazy Josh Allen a few times every game right now.
Yeah.
And that's scary because he's got – I don't blame him here. This is not it's a little bit like Wyoming back in those days because they're going, you just got to save
us. Everything.
You got to make it. And he's got to find that, you know, that brake pad or governor switch again to go like, okay, there's a fine line of I got to do everything. And then, okay, I've crossed that line and this is batshit fucking crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
And I think we have an example here next of the passing game. The headline is Allen Mechanics. Maybe taking a step back here a little bit.
Well, all right. So this is something I've definitely – I mean, this is definitely something going on right now. All right, here's one thing, and I hope Josh Allen and Brian Daboll, somebody tells them this. Josh Allen is not throwing the ball exactly the same way he was last year. Josh Allen right now, way too much what I call his arm being an independent contractor. So I just want to show that real quick. I hope you guys are watching on YouTube/NBC Sports. But, like, you know, we talk about quarterback mechanics a lot. The ability to separate the upper from the lower, right? Just like that golf swing. You know, the legs stay, but we torque the upper body, and that allows you to unravel and really throw some heat behind the football. Right now, he has so many throws where he does not create opposites, and his arm just does it itself. He'll just sit here like this, and he just throws it like that. There's nothing to go with it. So it's like the definition of an all-arm throw. Mm. So there's definitely more throws missed than there should be as compared to last year. All right, so there's that issue. And, yeah, again, we're going to get – yep, and here this is going to be an interception he throws. Not only bad mechanics we're going to show here, but going to also show the fact that nobody is really open. That's the other thing, too, where, yeah, people are onto their stuff a little bit. There's no doubt about that. I think you got Emmanuel Sanders here who's going to run through, and on this, like, copy right here, the game angle we're showing, it's going to look like he's open maybe. But everybody got to trust me. There's a safety over here just waiting for him. You know, he's got an out route up here, you know, that pops open. But really what he's trying to do in the play itself is look down the middle to Cole Beasley running a little option route right over the middle of the field. And this is, to me, where they got to find some more varieties of doing some of this stuff, because I do think people are all over their stuff a little bit. Because as we roll the tape here, what you're going to see, it's hard to check it out right here, but Miles Jack's going to let Emmanuel Sanders go, and they're going to basically have Cole Beasley bracketed in the middle. So now he's got really nowhere to throw the football. And to compound that, here he is in the pocket, and you could see his feet are, let's say he's standing on the clock, right? His feet are like this. They're right here down the hash, right? He's going to throw a ball over here and never really even step there. Just kind of just use his right arm and wing it and throw it, okay? And so here we go. I'm going to play it. And
oh, yeah, you can
see?
Really see that.
You
yeah.
see? You
yeah.
see what I'm talking about there? So I want to slow-mo this, and I'm going to get there in a second. Hold on a second, you damn thing. But see, look, I mean, he's actually stepping almost to 11 o'clock on the dial and throwing the ball back over to 2 o'clock.
He never believed that throw. He had zero conviction.
It was a total just like, let me just flick it with my arm and I don't know where to go. Nobody's open. Let me see if I can just fit it in there. Right. And as you see there, there's the perfect example of what I'm trying to show. They got two guys on them. They got an inside and outside guy on them. So that again speaks to killed the field goal opportunity again. 9-6 would have been a big deal.
Yep.
You know, and that's again the issue. Their mistakes led to a lot of Jacksonville field goals and, of course, lack of their own field goal to win an ugly football game. All right, so we got one more play after this. There's Paris Ford, not Paris Ford. I keep forgetting this damn Rudy Ford. There's Rudy Ford making another big play. I like this. Look at our man James Lofton right here showing this. Oh, look at him drawing routes. He's got, let me see, he's got the CBS vision cone
former
popping
Buffalo
up.
Former Buffalo Bill Grace.
Oh, I love me some James Lofton, let alone the guy is awesome.
Good dude.
But again, here's what I want to show everybody, all right? This is what I want to show more than anything, all right? And I'm going to leave this up here just like this. All right, so, I mean, here's a single cut down here by Diggs. It's tight. They played bump run. He didn't love that, so he tried to play the concept up top. But again, as I showed you, here goes Emmanuel Sanders this way. The safety's going to be over here for him, all right? And now you have Cole Beasley going to run his little option route and try to settle in there, and they're going to have two guys. The only guy that's even remotely open is the big tight end on a way out route there, and that's really not something that's on his radar for this play. This play was like, it's 1-2-2-3. That's how that play is read, all right? This is just window dressing bullshit up here, all right? So we'll let it continue to play here. And as you can see, right, you know, again, they're ready for it. They're ready for it. Miles Jack's matched up on Zach Moss. You got good coverage on Diggs. You got a guy running with Sanders and a safety waiting for him to where, I mean, all right, maybe he could try to throw a laser in here and maybe it gets tipped by the guy or the Emmanuel Sanders gets his head knocked off.
But again, it's a tie game. It's 3rd and 3 in field goal range. Like, maybe just eat it, maybe throw it away, maybe
exactly.
Run it 3 yards.
That's exactly it. Put your shoulder down or something. Try to get up here to save a few yards or just throw it at the feet of Cole Beasley. Throw it right at his feet, punt the ball. I mean, kick the ball. They're at the 25-yard line. It's going to be a 42-yard field goal. No biggie. That's a chip shot this day and age in the NFL.
Right.
So these plays, and is that our last one?
We have one more.
Oh, you're right.
One more.
So these all just symbolize the issues to me of the Buffalo offense through the last few weeks.
So this is late third quarter, tied at 6, 1st and 20.
Yeah, 1st and 20. Thanks for laying that out there. 1st and 20, I mean, gosh, there's nobody more dangerous in football on 1st and 20, 3rd and 18 than Josh Allen. But here's some stuff where I go, like, you know, bad throw, people covered a little bit, and now we go back to Josh Allen where I want to just go, first off, my first thing I want to say here is, like, why run? Why the run, like, first off? And, you know, I should say this. You know why the run? Because he's had people coming around the edge all game. So now as a quarterback, you start to lose your feel a little bit in the pocket because you're like, man, every time I look up, I kind of got somebody bearing down on me.
Yeah.
You know, I would like him just to shuffle up and stay in a throwing position and kind of attack the line of scrimmage that way. Instead, he decides to run up. And then as he's running with his head down. And now he decides to look up at the last second and try to make a throw, sidearm throwing an absolute heater laser to Cole Beasley.
It's 20 yards down
the
field.
That's 20 yards down
the
field. 5 yards the other way.
Rolling to his left.
Not an easy throw.
No.
I know Josh Allen can do that with the best of any of them, but he's off his game right now. And he's off within his feel in the pocket. He's a little off in what he's seeing on the field. And there it leads to, you know, what I would say, like, last year, Josh Allen would have got back into that throw. He might have attacked the line of scrimmage, and then got back into the position and just lasered it real quick. For whatever reason here, he stays on the run, which makes it more difficult, and misses Cole Beasley, where he can't even get his hands on it right now.
Yeah.
So a little bit of that is just encompasses all the issues they're having as a football team right now.
Yeah.
And, again, I don't know. This is why I keep saying, like, the Bills, to me, I would be trying to sign Odell Beckham Jr. right now.
Nice. Really?
That's what I would be saying.
Yeah, you'd be pursuing that route.
I would. They need some – they're not going to fix the run game. That's not going to happen this year. We're already done. It's halfway through the year. It's not going to happen.
I was going to ask.
You got to go weaponry.
Okay.
You got to go weaponry here.
Biggest problem, O-line or the weapons outside of Diggs?
I would say it's the O-line.
O-line's the biggest problem.
I would say it's the O-line. Yes, I would. Definitely. I would probably put that number one.
Okay.
But then, yeah, I think the weapons is one of the most overrated things in football when people talk about the Bills. Because I hear people on TV go, well, he's got weapons, and I still want to go, what the fuck are you talking about? What weapons? What? Who is there has shown you that they are some big-time weapon that changes games at any point? And that's where I think they're going to need somebody else because the run game, I said, is not going to happen. Their defense is good enough to get them to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But they need some sort of offense or offensive rhythm. And they've lost their way a little bit the last few weeks.
Forrest Westbay asked a question. I won't read the whole thing, but basically is how do the Bills navigate their offensive line issues?
Yeah.
What can you do at this point of the season?
There's not much you could say other than they got to find – more screens, maybe some moving in the pocket with Josh Allen, you know, move the pocket
so where he can set up and you can protect him outside the pocket, keep in some max protections every now and then. Oh, wait, it's a single safety defense. We can send two, three guys out here because it's basically one-on-one. Let's let him feel protected and let him throw a 20-yard out route to Stephon Diggs. We'll keep a tight end in. We'll keep the back end on the weak side. We'll kind of get double teams on the two edge guys. So then, you know, everybody else can block everybody else in the interior. That, to me, would be the thing I can go from. But, I mean, it's not going to get fixed as far as, like, they're going to become some great, you know, offensive line unit here sometime soon.
Kristen, I know we have a graphic on the Bills and their results this season. I think specifically offensively. Well, there's all the results. If you're just listening, it's weeks 1 through 9. You can see how many points they have scored. Again, they were number one in points coming into this game.
Right.
What you saw over the weekend, one game or a sign of a much bigger problem to fix?
No, I think this is a sign of a bigger problem. I don't look at this as a one game. This has been a thing I've been trying to beat home to people for a little while now.
They have the Jets this weekend. Do you see them struggling again?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think the Jets, and the Jets have been pitiful on defense themselves here at certain points. I mean, they weren't great against Cincinnati, and they certainly weren't great against, you know, the Colts last week.
Yeah.
But when you get back to defensive head coach that knows he doesn't really have to defend the run game, and they have a decent front four, and yeah, they don't have a great secondary. Like, it's nothing special there. But I don't see any sign of going, oh, this machine is going to catch on fire. What I can say, what could happen and where I could end up being wrong this week is Josh Allen, he could end up making 3 or 4 highlight plays versus a Jets defensive line that not necessarily has the greatest pass rushers in the world, to where it's going to fool us. And they could win 30-10, but I don't know if it necessarily means good offense, right? That's what I'm trying to say. Like, they fool us a little bit because, oh, Allen gets out of the pocket and then throws a 40-yard laser across the field for a touchdown, and we go, well, their offense is good. And I want to go, no, it was third and 20. They haven't done shit but gone backwards, and he just made an amazing play. And that, to me, is not realistic to get to the Super Bowl or go deep in the AFC playoffs.
For the rest of November, the Bills have the Jets, Colts, and the Saints, two huge games coming up against the Patriots in December. All right, Chris. Meanwhile, in Dallas, the team that led the NFL in yards and averaged over 30 points per game, they were playing the Broncos. It was 30-0 late in the fourth quarter in that game. Just like we did with the Bills, let's start out here with a question from Twitter. Tomas S. Pena says, love the pod, all the way from Brazil. Did the Cowboys get so overconfident with their playmakers to the point they underestimated schemes and didn't design plays to make the game easier for them?
No. It's a very good question. You know, I don't think it was overconfidence. It was a bad day. Like, all right, so like there where I just told you, Buffalo, I'm a little concerned with. Dallas, I know it was a bad day. I'm not going into Concernedville yet with Dallas's offense. I'm not. You know, well, we're going to show plays, and Pete knows. I mean, we were on the phone last night for an hour and 20 minutes, and he watches the plays with me as we go through it. You know, there was plays there to be had. There was drops in the game. You know, they didn't play their best ball, certainly. You know, they didn't take advantage of two decent drives to start the game. They get stopped on fourth down. Mainly the biggest thing is, you know, Dak Prescott, 2 weeks of not practicing or doing anything, he was off his game. Not only off physically and missed throws that you go, well, I see Dak do that 99 of 100 times. He didn't even see the field all that well either. Let alone, hey, Vic Fangio, their defense, he's a good defensive coach. They got pretty good secondary in Denver, so they can play that game. And where they were fortunate is they got the jump out, be up 16-0.
Right.
They block the punt, the Dallas Cowboys, but then Denver gets to recover it because it gets touched beyond the line of scrimmage.
Right.
That leads to another drive of a field goal to make it 19-0. And really what happened, too, to compound it is now you're like, oh, shit, we can't run the ball. Like, they got impatient with them running the ball, too, because they're going, we got to start making plays, lengthen the game, stop the clock with incompletions, give ourselves more chances. And that ended up being a downfall for them, too, and plays right into Fangio's hands, where run defense is not a strength for Denver, but pass defense and pass coverage, that's right up Vic Fangio's alley.
Before we watch the plays here on film, what kind of pass defense? Because we've talked about so many different kinds this season in terms of zone or aggressive man. I know they were up, and that helped a lot, as you pointed out. What did they do specifically?
Yeah, no, there was. I think there's two things that I come away with the theme of the game. Passing formations, for the most part, and especially early, man-to-man coverage, four-man rush, deep safety in the middle, somebody lurking in the middle to look for crossers.
In it, so a deep safety in center field and a guy up there.
And either, and it was either the safety in the middle of the field, like looking for crossers,
yeah,
or maybe the safety was covering the tight end, and now the linebacker's in the middle of the field looking for crossers, but always having somebody in that area to go, wait, if you do those man-to-man pick plays, or you know, you look to go post, deep crosser over the, we're going to have somebody
coverage there
to kind of get in your way.
You can do that because you're not rushing five.
You're exactly right. Yeah. So now you got the – listen, there was a plays right there, even the pressures we just showed with Jacksonville against Buffalo.
Yeah.
It was a blitz, but one guy dropped. It's four-man pressure. The NFL's listening to us. They're listening to the podcast. And they're going, damn, Paul and Chris are right. So there's that, Paul, and here's the other aspect. So passing formations, they played it that way. Running formations, two tight ends, oh no, they might slug us and kick our butt with the running game. They played more zone coverages. Why? Because, you know, you don't want to be playing too much man-to-man against a good running football team, because all of a sudden they send motions and things, and all of a sudden we go, oh, wait, that guy was supposed to be responsible for the C-gap, but now he went across with the motion, and wait, we didn't adjust right and get somebody back over there to help the C-gap in the run game. That's what becomes the issue there, let alone, like, it can be a little tricky with play-action passes when you play too much man-to-man in those type of sets, too. So what does it do? You know, zone defense and a run formation and running set. All eyes can be on the quarterback, on the run game. If they do run it, we can get all our bodies down there and try to tackle them. Two, you know, if they do run some, you know, play action pass and now our linebackers are way up in there, at least we got some guys back there in the secondary who are playing their zones and seeing the quarterback and get to read his eyes and maybe get after some of those combinations.
All right, we have three plays here to demonstrate the Cowboys' struggles against the Broncos on Sunday. Let's begin halfway through the first quarter, third down and nine. On the Bronco 27.
Third down and nine, and this is one of the first times of the game where...
And it's scoreless right now.
It's scoreless, right. They've already missed on one fourth and one on their opening drive. This is going to lead to a miss of fourth and three a few plays later, and we're going to show the next two plays here. This is one of the first plays, though, all game to this point where they got in a passing formation, and Denver did not play the man-to-man middle of the field coverage like I was telling you about, okay? This is one of the first times. So this is kind of a curveball here.
Okay.
For the first time, like, all game to where they're all over. And what they do here is he wants to look at the single cut with CeeDee Lamb on the left because he thinks it's some sort of man-to-man coverage at first, or because that's what they've been doing. The safety ends up coming way back over here. It's not this safety. There's another safety back here to kind of cloud that, so he doesn't have that right from the get-go, all right? And then what they do is, excuse me, is what I would call, and what teams that I played for, and I'm just trying to try to get into the right spot here, they box the bunch, all right? So we have a bunch formation at the top of the screen.
Three wide receivers,
right? I think the inside guy is Dalton Schultz
three
is the tight
catchers,
end, but
yeah.
Three pass catchers, 100%. And what I mean by box the bunch is you got short – inside, you got short outside, you got deep outside, he's going to be over here for deep inside. So it ends up almost looking like a box, right? That's why you say box the bunch. They're going to kind of play, first guy that comes into my area, I got this corner of the box, right?
Okay.
That's basically what they're doing. And as you see here, all right, they're going to run like, I'm going to try to get to it just so I can kind of, it's going to be shallow crosser, deeper crosser. Dalton Schultz is going to run kind of like a real deep in cut. Now, he pops open. He ends up being open. But again, what I want to just show here is kind of just what symbolizes the whole game. Even when there was a few people open, all right, it was never smooth. And I think as soon as he's like, here's Dak Prescott, he's getting back to like now the concept side, because you can see his eyes are still over here to CeeDee Lamb. But you got to trust me, there's a safety over there that's discouraging him. And now he's going back to the concept side. You know, right now he's going, wait, that's not right. This guy's here. Wait, there's somebody over there waiting for this guy. But he ends up clearing it out, and he's going to have a hole for Dalton Schultz. But as soon as he starts to get there, Zach Martin versus Draymond Jones gets beat, and he doesn't get a chance
to really get to that play. So he ends up running and scrambling, and now it becomes, I believe, 4th and 3, maybe 4th and 2.
Okay.
All right? So that's that example.
And 4th and 2, is this the very next play?
It's the very next play.
Okay, next play, 4th and 2 on the 20.
Now we're going to get back to Denver's going to play their man-to-man coverage where I talked about like a free guy being in the middle. But Dallas sends 3 crossers this time. They go, you want to play man-to-man with a guy in the middle? Well, we're going to send so many fucking crossers at you, you're not going to be right. One of them's going to get open. And that's basically what they do. He goes this way. He goes this way. Cedric Wilson comes underneath. They got Zeke Elliott clearing it out on a wheel route. All right. It's a very popular play in the NFL. 4-man rush once again. And they got Denver. Denver's in trouble. They're playing man across the board, as you could see. Right. Tavion Young's already. Kenny Young's getting outside to cover Zeke. All right. Let me just make sure I got this right. Let me see just to make sure. All right. Okay. Yep. I got it. Sorry. We got Surtain on the outside receiver here. And then Justin Simmons is going to be worried about Schultz coming across. All right. And then your free guy is right here in the middle. All right. Well, like I said, they send so many crossers. Look at the free guy in the middle. He's going like, wait, there's 2 crossers coming at me, this guy and this guy. And, and you see Fuller here, number 23, who's covering Cedric Wilson. There's just too much trash to fight through. So it's a great play call. It's great. They got it because they've seen it a few times already. They've seen the defense that I'm explaining to you. Again, this is a second drive, and I'm going to say to this point, they've thrown the ball, in some passing sets, let's just say 5 or 6 times, and they've gotten this coverage 5 out of the 6 times. There's only that one play I just showed you where it was the first time they didn't play the coverage I've told you about with the man and the free guy in the middle.
They got what they wanted defensively. They have a good play call. Like, I don't remember watching this live what happened. I'm wondering how this got messed up.
And this goes back to, our buddy Tomas Espana in Brazil to go, our man Dak was just off. He throws it at the feet. He might score a touchdown. He might score a touchdown. Now, listen, on the game film, I kept going, wait, did 93 Draymond Jones tip this ball? Like, I rewound it 50 times.
I don't think he did.
And we're going to show you. He didn't. We have a better, clearer angle here.
I think Dak decelled on it because he was so open, just tried to baby it.
He tried to baby it. That's a great way to say it. Like, oh, he's open. Instead of like, no, throw the ball through his target.
Yeah.
Throw it through his chest and let him catch it and run. And like you got to trust me here again. I know I like to say that a lot with this stuff. Zeke's going to clear out Kenny Young, and I'm telling you, if he catches this ball, he's going to go up the sideline, and maybe a safety tackles him at the 2-yard line. But I find it highly unlikely. And as you see, can't even get a chance to catch the ball, and this is why they pay Pete Demilitis the big bucks. Look at the replay. Clean as can be.
Yeah.
You said it. He babied it. It kind of looks like it, I don't know. He just didn't quite step into it. That's exactly, you said it the right way, and he has no chance. That's not even close. Not even close, right.
Wow.
And that leads to Denver going down the field, scoring their first touchdown, and being up 6-0.
The margin for error is so small. Like, that play gets hit when it's scoreless. I don't want to take anything away from what Denver did. They dominated them. But if you get points first, get a touchdown first.
I know. This is where I try to explain to people all the time this is where I always say the college football element messes up the football watcher's mind sometimes. Because they just go, Alabama beat this team by 60 points. And then they go to the NFL and they're like, well, how did that happen? Like, how did this happen? What happened here? And it's like, it's really more times than not, like 3 or 4 plays where you go, it totally changed the game. And now shit's rolling downhill.
Mm-hmm.
And, you mess up another 2 or 3 plays. And now, it's a big ball of shit rolling downhill.
Yeah.
And you're fighting an uphill battle that's not easy to win.
It's deflating, too, for everybody on the sideline in the huddle, too, when it's a critical down.
Yeah.
We've watched. We're anticipating this defense. We get that defense, and this is the perfect play for it. All that happens, and the quarterback bounces it to him.
Yes.
It's not just, that play didn't work.
Right.
That's a missed opportunity, and everybody knows it.
No, a missed opportunity. That's a great play call. Everything
awesome.
Was right.
It's perfect.
And Dak Prescott will hit that the next 99 out of 1,000 times
exactly.
He throws it. We got one more play.
And we have one more that I think he'll hit that is not it's not so much schemed up that works. It's just an athletic play that he normally makes, but he misses. I want to make sure we get this right.
Yeah.
Third quarter, Dallas now down 19-0.
Yeah, no. And then, you
fourth
know, again,
and one.
We're going back to the coverage I've told you because it's a pass set, right? And here goes Denver. Denver's going to play the man with a free guy in the middle. You know, there's Justin Simmons. He's coming down, right, to cover Ezekiel Elliott offset to his right. So here we go. Fourth down, four-man rush. It's man-to-man across the board. He maybe is going to blitz if Zeke stays, but once he sees him go out, he matches him and covers him. All right. We got Kenny Young on Schultz. We got, I can't see who that is. I think that's Fuller. No, that might be Darby. Darby man-to-man on Cooper. And then you got William Jackson back here as the free guy. And you got a middle linebacker here who's the free guy. Again, back to the theme we talked about, right?
Yeah.
So man-to-man passing situations. Oh, yeah. Did I say William Jackson? Kareem Jackson. Sorry. Thank you. Keep me up to date there, Pete. Too many plays and names going through my head. So what they're going to do here is Amari Cooper inside release going to try to run a deep out. Dalton Schultz is going to kind of run the up 5 yards and option route out, right? On the backside, let me clear these out just so I can do this again. So there you go. Out, Schultz, option out. They're going to run CeeDee Lamb on a, like, he's going to run an out and come back in type of return route, reverse return route. Cedric Wilson's going to run a deep out. All right, out of all these guys that I just show you, none of them are going to be open except for Cedric Wilson. All right? Now, he's taught probably in this formation to play this side. He can probably play either side he wants in man-to-man on this one, but I think what he's really looking at is going, it's fourth and two, and the middle linebacker is inside leverage on my good pass-catching tight end who's about to run a 5 yard out. So I should be able to hit him, and we get a first down, and we keep this game going, right? What I'm going to show you, you know, again, is Vic Fangio, and I think Denver having a pretty good feel in some of these drop-back pass moments of knowing what to get or what they were going to get. And because you have, like, people in the middle of the field that are free, you know, it helps them out. But you see there, Kenny Young, he's all over it on the top of the screen. He wants to throw this right here. As he's pumping, right, he's going to pump, and as he's about to cock the ball and throw it, he's going, oh, I can't throw that. It's going to be a pick six, all right? Now, even farther back, Amari Cooper, who's trying to run a deep out, the corner's playing outside leverage on it. He can't, it's over. He's done. There's nothing he can do here. So now you see Dak, he's kind of looks there, uh-oh, now he's moving in the pocket. You could see at this moment right here, CeeDee Lamb does a great job of kind of, you know, scramble drill because he ran the out, come back in. That was his third option kind of guy. And you see Cedric Wilson on the out, but here's CeeDee Lamb, the hand up, all right? And he's behind everybody. And again, this goes into, again, just the encompassing the whole picture here. Good defense and Dak Prescott being off. And I would say if Dak Prescott gets that throw 20 times, he hits it 18.
Yep.
And it's that adds up. And all of a sudden you're down 19-0. And all of a sudden you're down 22-0. And then all of a sudden it's 30-0. And it just goes downhill from there.
So in these last two teams that we've looked at, the Bills offense, Cowboys offense, you see the one that led in points. We talked about the Bills extensively.
Yeah.
The one that led in yards.
Yeah.
And with the Bills, it felt like it was a sign of a bigger problem.
Yeah.
Cowboys, same question. Is this a sign of a bigger problem?
No, it's not. I'm not panicked about Dallas at all. I'm really not.
It's just Dak missing a couple throws.
It's just Dak missing a couple throws. Exactly right. You know, and some good defensive plays by Denver because they're coached well.
And yeah.
I'm going to give them credit. You know, they did a pretty good job of, you know, the biggest issue of the game also other than Dak missing throws, you know, the game got away from them. But with no Tyron Smith in the game, they moved who has been their right tackle, Steele, over to left tackle, and Lyle Collins went back to his original position of right tackle. And Steele really got whooped throughout the game, too. I mean, whooped. He got pushed back into Dak a lot. So, you know, like we showed a little bit, even though there's a few times where you go, oh, somebody's going to be open, It was just a bad day for their offense altogether. I don't see that, you know, continuing to be a problem. Too much talent. The offensive line's still good. Receivers are still good. Dak's still a top 10 quarterback, and it's a good system. They'll be back this week against Atlanta.
Let's take a quick peek at the other side.
Yeah.
Cowboys defense. Teddy Bridgewater had his best game of the season.
Right.
Why?
Well, you know, one, they dominated in the run game. I mean, dominated. You know, Dallas is not real big on the defensive line. They got a lot of studs, but no, like, you know, not a lot of like, oh, this guy's 315 and this guy's 340. You know, they have like Bohanna, who's that guy. But they want to play speed inside. That's what they want to do. They want to play Carlos Watkins at 290 or 295, and they want to play Odigizuwa at 280 as their D tackles and have Randy Gregory and Basham on the outside, right, and just be fast and chaotic. You know, again, this is where the Dallas defense is not amazing, but they play hard, they have depth, and they kind of create chaos is what I would call it. And that's what they do to stop the run a lot of the time. So you line up and you go, oh, we're going to run the ball to the right here, and you say set hut, and they all slant one crazy way. And it kind of like throws the offensive line up to where you're not necessarily getting beat physically, but they're just not where you thought they were going to be, and now we can't get them, and we weren't coached up the right way all week to you know, stop this movement right after the snap. Well, they have one of the best O-line coaches in Mike Munchak.
Yeah.
And Munchak was all over that stuff to where they did a great job in zone blocking primarily, especially in the first half, to where, hey, we're going to run this play, they're going to line up like this, and they're probably going to move like this, and they were all over the movement. So they, like, cut people off a lot that way, opened up a lot of big holes there. The second half, they threw out a few run plays that they hadn't shown in the first half where they pulled guards and pulled a tackle and did that. That gashed them. And then ultimately, I think the other thing I'll come down to is, you know, Dallas, we talked about this a few weeks ago against the New England Patriots. They want to play man-to-man, and they will continue to play it until you show them that you're going to have a few ways to gash it. And they couldn't match up with not only some of the plays themselves that hurt man-to-man, but Jerry Jeudy and Tim Patrick are pretty damn good, and they got open too.
Yeah.
And that caused some big plays and some issues for the Dallas defense.
Teddy Bridgewater's a frustrating evaluation, isn't he?
I mean, well, yes.
He'll cruise through some games where he's like,
right,
he's okay, he's not great, he's not bad. Right. He was wonderful on Sunday.
He was wonderful. He threw the ball as good as he threw all year.
Yeah.
But, yes, he's a little bit of a – it has to be the right matchup and way for him to look like that. I got to see more of that before I'm going to pin the tail.
Agreed.
You know, and say, oh, wait, he's here, he's surgical, he's going to be doing this every week. This was the kind of scheme that kind of matched up well for them. You know, play action pass came into to play. You know, the run game got going. Dallas got caught in between what they do want to do. And again, like we've been saying all year, Dallas defense is not great. They just play hard. They create a few turnovers. And that's what they rely on. But they also are relying on their offense kind of dominating the show and you always having to play from behind and catch up to where you can't play as much balanced football as maybe you'd like. And that's where it all compounded into it being down 30 to nothing at one point.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Let's turn the page and go out west to San Francisco, the 49ers, and the Cardinals. And I started out the podcast sometime early and said a lot of the action on Sunday raised serious questions.
Yeah.
I mean, there are many games you're like, well, how did that happen and why did that happen?
Right.
This certainly falls into that category with the Cardinals coming in with a backup quarterback without their top receiver.
Right
away in the game, didn't have their top running back against a team that had to win. The Niners, for an early November game, I mean, there had to be as much sense of urgency around that game for them as any that we saw over the weekend.
100%.
Yet the Cardinals controlled from the start. They controlled throughout. They won by 14 points. How?
Great job, like you said, Colt McCoy, the coaching, Cliff Kingsbury. That's why, to me, he's in the leader house for
Coach
of the Year. No problem.
Didn't bite his nose off.
Put that on my tab. That, you know, they're a different football team, as we've tried to discuss you know, than years past. They got more to offer on the offensive side of the ball. There's a toughness about their football team. And at a base level, even without Kyler Murray, they're more talented than the San Francisco 49ers right now. They're just more talented across the board. But I thought it was the game planning of what Cliff Kingsbury did and making Colt McCoy feel comfortable and making some things easy on him then led Colt to go, man, I'm feeling good. Look at this. I'm hot today.
I'm dealing.
You might not have thrown a lot of big passes, but then it led to him throwing a few big passes because you start to feel confident and you got your quarterback into a rhythm.
Kind of felt a little bit as I watched that game and studied what happened afterward. I thought to what you said last week about Mike White with the Jets 2 weeks ago that numbers were great, but you and I don't ever want to make it sound like it was easy because we know it's not easy.
Yeah.
But they, you know, it was easier for those two quarterbacks because of the way the game was called, the kind of schemes they were going after.
No doubt about it. I think that's the big thing. And I think that's what, you know, we're going to hit on here a little bit. You know, just the different ways in which, you know, the Arizona offense kind of attacked the 49ers. And, you know, hey, the 49ers did okay on offense. They have a little bit of the Chiefs disease right now. They continue to, you know, shoot themselves in the foot. You know, oh, here's Kittle wide open down the middle. He fumbles. Brandon Ayuk catches the ball at the 5-yard line wide open. He falls down. He gets up. Somebody hits him. He fumbles the ball. They get no points. I mean, that game was about to be 14-7. So offensively, the 49ers keep messing things up. Defensively, you know, it's a good defense. There's issues, though. There's two issues to me. The secondary's average. You know, Javon Kinlaw's out of defensive line. You know, other than Bosa, who's still not 100% Bosa before the injury, there's no other pass rusher other than him that really pops. So it's him and Armstead are the only two guys that can really do anything. And then the other thing I'll throw onto it is I think San Francisco's defense is it's too predictable for me.
They do too much of what?
They just do too much of it's quarters coverage. Cover three, it's just a lot of the same looks where they might try to dress it up to look a little different, but when you snap the ball, they all end up in the same place all the time. And again, like I've always said, if you got the Legion of Boom or the 2019 49ers defense, fine, that's cool. But you don't have that right now. And to me, they don't give themselves the schematical advantages on the defensive side of the ball that necessarily help them when you're playing a team that's got a ton of talent and schemes to know how to take advantage of things. And that's where it became a little bit of a double whammy in this one.
All right, thinking of the schemes and taking advantage to your invite to get up there and start the tape here. How does a quarterback go 22 out of 26? Well, a lot of credit to Colt McCoy. However, they worked the screen game in a number of ways, as well as any team has all year, I think.
Yes, they did. They're great that way, all right? And it was great in this game because, you know, I want to say this is maybe the third screen in a row on this drive.
I think you're right.
I'm pretty sure it is. I can't remember exactly.
Coming.
But there's a lot of them early on in the football game. And, you know, again, it's just great thinking, great play design, everything, whatever you want to call it. And also having a great feel for what a defense likes to do. And here, like, you see, I mean, the 49ers never play man-to-man. It's like, don't even worry about that. That's not man. I mean, there's a corner up here. You know, here's the nickel back. And here's the other corner, who's Josh Norman down here. All right? And what they want to do is, like, you know, what they do more times than not, and I want to just get to the right spot on the film here, but you know, now you got three guys out here as eligibles to your left, right? And you really only got the two DBs, 24, which is, I think, is Kaywan Williams and Josh Norman. And what they try to do is too much, the 49ers, in my opinion, is, like, they play their linebackers in, like, half-see spots where it's like, we want you to be responsible for the run game, but if they throw a quick game pass out here, you're really fast, Fred Warner, and we want to get you out there, and you got to defend that, too. And you know, that's okay against some teams, but not when it's the Cardinals who got receivers that can really go and they're pretty good at the screen game and they know how to coach it and it's a part of their DNA on the offensive side of the ball. And as you could see here, see what happens is it just becomes, wait, I'll block him and I'll block him and he'll just beat him out on the edge. He can't get there in time, right? So just like a lot of these type of easy completions where – okay, hey, first down screen. Look at that, 9 yards. Damn, I'm a good quarterback. I feel good. Woo, I'm one for one.
Hit
look at that.
Hit a couple layups. It's
right,
nice.
Exactly.
And once you do that and they work, the amount of things you can do off of it is really fun. And I love this next play call.
It's awesome.
Yeah. First quarter, 2:30 left. Arizona up 7-0. Keep in mind the kind of screen that we just saw.
Right. Exactly right. Screen we just saw. Screen that we've probably seen similar to the one we just saw has probably already been called at this point 4 times maybe. It might be 5 at this point. All right. And, you know, just want to motion this a little farther here. But here we go. It's, I mean, again, to my point, it's zone defense. It's always zone. It's always zone. Here's the down safety. It's a cover 3 defense. I mean, that's what they're doing.
Are they limited personnel-wise why they have to play zone?
Well, they don't have – yes, their corners are not good. So okay. They can't play man-to-man. But it's never been in their DNA in the Shanahan era where they've been always a predominantly 3-match quarters type of football team more times than not. And, okay, I mean, at least this time it's just, you know, 2-on-2, right? And you're going, oh, okay, great. But I'm betting that with this formation that the Arizona Cardinals have with the 2 tight ends up here, that they knew it would stay 2-on-2 out here. Because of the 2 tight ends, they don't want to put him out here too much in case they run, okay? Pulling guard run play, they know they're going to be screwed. So look at Fred Warner. The last play, he was trying to do the halfsies. This time, he knows he can't do that. They run the little play action fake, and now they know that they're going to get the 2-on-2 matchup. The nickelback is coming up worrying about the screen because he's seen it 3 times already in Rondale Moore.
He's sprinting toward it.
He's sprinting toward it.
He knows it's coming.
And look what happens. Oh, baby. And now you get the curl flat underneath guy out of the way, and Christian Kirk does a good job of coming out like, hey, I'm blocking, and then he runs a slant, and look at the size of this window.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you and me are hitting that all day long.
Right
damn,
now,
I'm on
today.
Fire. And think of your quarterback.
Let me play again.
Right. Like if you're a quarterback, you're going, damn, I feel good. Man, coach, call whatever you want. I'm on fire, baby.
And credit to McCoy, the receivers there, who really sold
it
that first instant. Because when you hit pause, it looked just like that old screen.
It looks just like the other play.
Yeah.
And it looks like this is where I'm into. You always hear me say the phrase marrying plays, right?
Yeah.
Like they run this play a lot too. Backside guard pulled, run James Conner. I mean, they have a long touchdown run on the first drive. It's that play.
Yeah.
So they're giving you things where they're going, wait, we're getting gashed by the run. We're getting gashed by the screen. It all looks the damn same. I don't know what the hell to do. Oh, here comes the screen. We got, oh, what a slant route
off
behind
it.
Right.
That's great.
I mean, to me, that's where it's awesome. Gone to another level with Cliff King. Kingsbury on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
all right.
Very well set up. We saw the screen. We saw the quick slant behind it.
Yep.
When you throw short, screen. If you want to go deep, then they're pretty well set up for
it. They're well set up. And, again, this is, again, I'm a little hunch here. I don't know if I'm necessarily right about this all the way. I am right, I think, in the fact that they knew what they were going to get as far as from the defense. What did I tell you San Francisco does? They play quarters and cover 3.
Zone.
It's
yep.
zone every time, right? And this is a form of quarters, right? It's quarters coverage, okay? But within this, you have a 4-by-1 set with the back offset to the 3 wide receivers. There's 4 eligibles to this side.
And I should have pointed this out earlier.
Third and 18, and then you got the backside receiver in a tight split. Now, I'm guaranteeing Arizona knew that they were going to get this type of defense. And I bet you within this, Kingsbury all week said, hey, alert the back out of the backfield here. Because what they're going to do is clear out, deep out, I think even deep corner route, all right? Rondale Moore in a shallow cross, James Conner halfback burst the opposite direction. Now, I don't know if it was all window dressing just to throw to James Conner, or if it was like, hey, if one of these guys, this guy or this guy, just pop wide open, throw it to them. But be aware that the back could be potentially dangerous on this play because what the 49ers do, and I'll clear the screen again here, this is what I would have called quarters push. Because once this guy goes here and you got 4 other eligibles over here, like – defenses are starting to go, well, why keep the safeties and corners back that way? Let's push them over and get them involved in case they run, you know, crosser this way and crosser that way and in cut. Now we got some extra guys over here to defend it, right? That's what they do.
Is that your title of push, or did you hear that?
No, it's a real thing. Something I call. Yeah, it's
good.
I was playing for Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
Right in Denver, or working for New England, and we would have called this quarters push.
Okay.
Right, they're going to push it to this way because they got an inkling, and you know, there you see the drawing. That wasn't my drawing there, but look how this is unfolding here. Right. So you got the clear out. It's 3rd and 18, like you mentioned. He might have the out route. He might. But again, this is what makes me lead me to believe that I think it was all a bunch of bull crap just to get back to here.
Because he's looking at the open receiver.
He's looking at the open receiver. Right. And he's not really,
he
doesn't give a damn.
It
doesn't look like he's even really ready to cock it or do anything. It's all just, hey, look it over here so we can get this guy going over here. And look at the backside corner. They're all flying over there. And there's Rondell Moore running the shallow cross, and Fred Warner's going to go match him. And what's going to happen is James Conner's going to catch the ball right here and be one-on-one with one guy. And it's going to – and to me, this is like, you know, again, I don't know. Maybe I'm giving a little more credit to Cliff Kingsbury than I should, but he's very quick to get to that. Look left, look left. Let me throw it back down to the back.
He was going there the whole way.
I agree. I mean, I agree too. This is like what we would have called halfback choice in West Coast off, where you, I'm looking downfield, like I'm going to throw something. I know I'm really throwing to the back the whole time. I heard Peyton Manning talk about it on the last Manning telecast a few weeks ago. Look downfield, get the defense to drop.
Yeah.
Oh, I got this guy one-on-one on a backer. So now he's going to catch the ball. Look, this corner back here, he's still running over here. And he's going to be one-on-one with 51, who's going to have to make a wide open field tackle against a running back who's pretty good in space.
Made him miss.
Right, exactly. And now you see the backside corner, number 4, trying to get over there.
There's not a defender within 20 yards of him when he made the one miss.
He doesn't get touched until 22 yards down the field.
Right.
22 yards down
the
field.
So demoralizing, too. Backed up in their territory, 3rd and 18.
Right.
Like the defense just carries itself a little differently the next couple plays when they give up 3rd and 18.
No doubt.
Right?
No doubt. It's deflating.
Oh.
It's deflating to your whole sideline.
Yes.
It's everything. It's just like, oh, no.
Everybody's got it. You got to be shitting
you
me.
You got to be shitting me. We're about to get the ball at midfield.
Yeah.
And maybe change this game around, and now they're marching.
Now they got 1st
and 10.
And
they end up scoring a touchdown on the drive.
Right. And then, okay, I kind of prematurely got this.
It's
but
okay.
You have so many things you hit underneath and have so much success in so many different packages.
Right.
Then you can hit them up top when you – if you want to go there later on.
If you want to go there later on, hit them up top. And I think, again, it goes into another great game plan design play here by Cliff Kingsbury and company.
Yep.
And also tying that together with – I think they knew what they were going to get coverage-wise in some of these formations. This is where I go. The 49ers, you got to change it up a little bit. You know, against it's fine against crap offenses, fine. But when you start to play the elite, to line up in the same coverages and the same looks time after time, you've got no chance against offenses like this anymore. It's
and
over.
Even though Colt is experienced over a decade in the league, he's still a backup. He's still making his first start. We saw what the Chiefs did against Jordan Love. I mean, wouldn't you want to come after a second stringer who hasn't played really this year?
I mean, I certainly wouldn't want to give him comfortable looks.
Which is exactly
what
these are.
Is what he's getting. Comfortable looks, don't have to think a lot. Yeah, they're fast and they're aggressive, but that's like great. You get used to that after a few plays. Like, okay, man, they're fast. I got to get the ball out of my hand quick.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, they're violent. But they played into the 49ers, we're sound, we know what we're doing, so that allows us to play fast. They were like, great, we're going to use that against you. You're going to be so all over some of this stuff we've shown on film that we're going to screw you over with the curveball that comes off of it. And so here we go, Paul. Like, it's Rondell Moore in motion. He's going to run a go down the left sideline. You're going to have 85, I think that's Wesley, sit up right here, and like a curl route. You got Kirk going on the deep post, all right? They're going to keep this tight end into block. They're going to run the little run fake that we see them do with James Conner out this way. And ultimately, it becomes a little bit of a four-on-one again, right? It becomes four receivers to the one side eligible. They, the 49ers, I say as in they, guess what? Are playing zone, playing quarters coverage.
Mm.
Quarters coverage. Shocker. Haven't seen that before. So he's back. There's a safety back here, right? You got a guy here that's, you know, K'Wan Williams is going to be in the flat. You got underneath guys. this guy is going to keep his eyes on the tight end in case, yeah, he's got to stay there to run. You know, what if he runs an out route? What if he blocks and runs a screen? So unlike the other one, he's not going to push over as much like we saw on the play before. But then there's a safety back here who he can push over just a little bit. And to me, again, this goes back into, I think Arizona knew exactly what they're getting here. And you could see, like right here, you could start to see the linebackers, everybody's kind of pushing over. You got to trust me that safety's over there. We're going to show another angle, too. And Hufanga, the deep safety, is kind of over here all by himself. And you got, you know, four sitting there just worried about the tight end in case something happens, right? So you see that. Protection's great. Boom. I mean, beautiful throw. On the money. You got Christian Kirk, who runs 4-3 one-on-one with a safety who played linebacker in college at a USC, Hufanga, who I really like. But to me, I mean, listen.
Look at that pocket, too.
The pocket's perfect. Even if he doesn't want to throw that, look at this.
Yeah.
I mean, if he throws to James Conner, he's going to get the first down. I mean, again, to me, it just goes into, like, Kingsbury had such a good feel for what they wanted to do. And I want to fast forward it. And let's go to that other cut. I think it's right here. Here we go. This is what I want to show. You know, so basically, yeah, zone defense, but they found a way to get a one-on-one matchup that should never happen because of that. You know, there's quarters. He's quarters a little bit over wide. They push him. They push him. The other linebacker's over here kind of coming out of the screen. And you got Christian Kirk on a not real fast athletic safety one-on-one streaking down the field.
Even though he's in a zone, right away turns his back and just runs. Like he's not. It doesn't look like a zone concept to me.
Well, you mean as far as like
as far as what Hufanga's doing?
Yeah. Well, I know. I don't know why he's so aggressively like
facing it. He's playing
it
like it's man.
He should be like, you know, again, it's quarters and it's everything's a match concept to a degree.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's expecting some sort of cross off of this where he's going to go underneath him. But either way, you're right. He should be kind of giving ground a little bit in case he goes either way. You're right about that 100%. But you can see, like, this is what I wanted to show. Watch Christian Kirk and his body language. He makes it look like he's going to lean in and go across him.
Yeah.
See that? And then he takes it up over the top.
Got him
right
there. Yep.
So that, to me, again, was the beauty of the play, the beauty of the coaching, and knowing kind of what you're going to get.
It's go time now for the Niners. I mean, they're 3-5.
Yep.
I mean, defensively,
yep.
Do they have what it takes to make a run at this thing? Because I know I brought it up Monday, but
yeah.
There is a team with a losing record in the NFC right now that's likely going to be in the playoffs.
I know. You're right.
A lot of good players in the Niners. Can it be them?
It can be them. It can, because I think the teams that are in front of them, again, are not that talented or special like we've kind of talked about. Atlanta, Carolina, Minnesota, Seattle, you know. Damn, I mean, Carolina, you could take the defense off the field right now. They'll probably screw it up and won't score points.
Yeah.
You know, Seattle, you don't know what to expect from them.
Right.
Minnesota's all over the place. Atlanta's probably the most consistent, just gutsy and whatever else, but I don't think we look at them as being overly talented.
Right.
To me, where it's different is I don't think their defense is going to be just good all year. It's not ever going to get great. It's not. And I'd like to see them do a few more things like you've heard me say, obviously. So I think the defense will be respectable. Top 12, top 14.
They've got to make it harder on a quarterback than they did with Colton Sunday.
But exactly, they do. But to me, it's going to go – the offense is going to have to be a little bit more the driving force here. And, you know, again, they just continue to find ways to kind of shoot themselves in the foot a little bit. Like people – I want to say this. Jimmy Garoppolo played good. I mean, he played really well. I know he threw the interception at the late of the game, but, hey, that was one of the only bad decisions he made throughout.
Second week in a row we said that.
He's played pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Exactly right. So it's not him. I don't look at him as the issue. You know, they just got to find ways to execute and get the ball in the end zone, which they show me stuff on the offensive side of the ball where I still go, damn, that's a good play by Shanahan. I like that run. All right, oh, that's a good little pass concept, off the run fake, or even the drop back pass game, which I don't think is necessarily his strength of strengths.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's not going to be like 2019 where the offense might be able to disappear every now and then and the defense will just dominate and it doesn't matter. No, I think the offense is going to have to help the defense out a little bit this year.
You, my friend, get to take a break from breaking down the film right now. and turn into host mode.
Oh, I get to talk fast to go to talking faster again.
There you go.
Here we go. You know it. Chris Sims Unbuttoned, presented by Under Armour. We're proud to have them. We're supported by Under Armour. And just like us, Under Armour wants to give you an edge. They are focused on performing better and taking their game to the next level, like the Arizona Cardinals and Cliff Kingsbury. Everything from running shoes that propel you forward to hoop shoes that give you insane grip. Yeah, that's why Steph Curry's on fire right now, scoring 50. Insane grip on his Under Armour basketball sneakers. They even make hoodies that reflect energy. We're going to see that damn hoodie one day because I want to reflect Florio's bad energy. We're not just about the end result, winning, or glory. Under Armour is about the hard work, the dedication, the cycle of training, competing, and recovering. We give you advantages, but not shortcuts. The only way is through.
Nice job going global and being aware of the NBA.
Went a little global there. Yeah, Steph's kind of en fuego. I think the Warriors are like 9-1 or something like that.
Is it that good?
Yeah, they're kind of like, hey, you know, we haven't been good in 2 years. Don't forget about us.
I know, right?
We still were a dynasty not that long ago.
Coming back in a little bit. Pete confirms.
9-1?
Sources confirm 9-1.
I root for Steph Curry.
Hard not to, right?
It's impossible not to.
Davidson College.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Right. Just
somehow,
like,
that happened.
He's like the Jimmy Chipwood of basketball. Or
I think you got that right.
I think
Hoosiers.
I did too. Right. Or like, you know, who's the slick guy from Louisiana growing? You know, he's just
Pistol Pete.
Pete Thank
Maravich
you. Yeah.
Is the man.
To me, that's who he is. He's the modern day that guy. Like, just it doesn't make sense. He's not dunking on people or rising above the rim. He does it with unbelievable dribbling and shooting. It's amazing.
Should we have a hoops podcast?
No. They're not paying me enough.
Back to football. And Cliff Kingsbury called a very good game.
Yes,
Colt
he did.
McCoy.
Yeah.
And Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick are doing a wonderful job, I think, with Mac Jones. Love
100.
What he's doing.
Yeah.
But the way that entire team is being put together and what they're doing, what they're good at, I think it really came to life 24-6 against Carolina. They've won 4 out of 5, so it's not like it's the only game it's come to life. But you think about the Patriots getting on this run offensively and the way Mac Jones is playing, what comes to mind first?
Well, efficiency. Like, the efficiency as far as they block everything almost perfectly in the run game. The pass game, it's always well thought out and smart. Yeah, it might not be explosive or sexy, but there's a plan and there's a thoughtfulness of, like, who we are as a football team.
Clearly.
And, like, let's not go outside the lines on that. Let's color within the lines. We know who we are, and we'll play that way and play a complimentary football game because our defense is awesome, and they're going to cause issues that way too. And to me, they have found a little rhythm within this offense.
Sure
the run game is starting to kick butt a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They find 3 or 4 plays a week to get an explosive play in the pass game. And Mac Jones, of course, is managing games and playing the position like he's been around the NFL for 8 years now.
And it's like in this game, they hit the truly perfect formula. And it's not very often you get to, after the game, say, well, that was perfect for the way this team is set up.
Right.
But a couple of huge turnovers on defense.
Yep.
Defense scores. And then you go, okay, offensively, if we're not in a scramble mode and we can kind of call the game we want, what would be perfect? Be perfect if the running backs could run more than Mac throws.
Right.
It'd be nice if Mac didn't really have to push it down the field that much.
Right.
And that's exactly
trifecta,
what happened.
Like you said. Yeah, it is. You're exactly right. It's exactly what happened. You know, where they're amazing, just from my experience of being with Josh McDaniels in Denver or, you know, working up there, is once they get you in some formations or personnel sets where they can kind of, like, bottle it down to they play this defense or that defense against this formation – period.
Love that.
You better watch out because they're going to come up with a bunch of plays to screw that over. In this game, you know, they run for 151 yards. They run 3 run plays. It's the same 3 run plays over and over. It's the same 3 run plays that they knew were going to be the right run plays for this football team for the most part. There might have been one other run play, but for the most part, it was some sort of a draw play, taking advantage of Carolina being aggressive up front, how they get upfield, right? So they tied plays together, like, where they like to throw the Arizona screen a lot. Mm. They do that stuff. Like, we've seen that when back in Tom Brady. Fake that, drop back, then hand the ball off. They did that to Carolina 5 times for, like, big yards every time. And then I'm going to show you the other 2 plays they did off of that, let alone there's 2 pass plays in the game that led to explosive pass plays, both to the back, where they knew what they were about to get coverage-wise, and these were McDaniel specials, up your butt, Joe Boo, Carolina Panthers, I got you, the code is cracked, and that's what leads to them 24-6. Hey, they turned the ball over two times in this game as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's threw a pick. He threw a pick, mm-hmm. You know, had the – got, like, crushed on the Brian Burns play,
right.
Where everyone
yeah.
thinks it's dirty and all of that. But, man, New England, watch out. That's all I can say.
Number of plays here to show yeah. what went well here for New England. Let's start out with the screen pass. Jones to Stevenson. Second quarter, early second, Patriots down 3-0.
And it's like – it's a screen pass, but it's not a screen pass. But, again, it goes into the conversation of we know what coverage we're about to get, okay? And it's a little bit like our play we just showed with Colt McCoy when on the 3rd and 18 and he throws the check down to James Conner for the first down.
Okay.
It's a lot of window dressing to let's just go back to the back here because they haven't seen this and we got them. All right, so roll this tape here, and Carolina playing man-to-man, as you could see right here. It's man-to-man coverage all the way across the board, okay? And let me just see if I can draw it up the right way. We got man here. Let me see. Let me just make sure I got them all right here. Man here on Jonnu Smith. And man right here. I just want to make sure I got that. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm trying to make sure I got all my plays right here. You know, they got two linebackers in the middle, and I'm not sure what one of them's doing all the way, but one of them is supposed to take the back man-to-man. I'm pretty sure it's number four because you could see him pointing, right? So there's a little confusion there, but you could see four, Jermaine Carter, pointing at Ramondre Stevenson. So they're playing man with a deep safety in the middle, and then Shaq Thompson is going to be free as the middle linebacker that way. Now, off of that, they're going to run a play that they run a lot. You know, fake the little guard pull, strong side power run, and they hit you a lot with, like, these pop passes right here, right? He might read it, one, to the shallow cross, two, to Jacoby Myers, and they get fast flow up, and they usually hit it behind you, right? So they decide to play man-to-man because they're probably going, well, we've got good corners. We can lock down these receivers. There's nothing special here, all right? And I would think off of that, off of this action, they've probably not thrown to Ramondre Stevenson or the back off of this action the whole year. There's no screen blocking by the offensive line. They married the play to look like their normal run play to that side. And within that, we have Carter, who we talked about, number four, who's man-to-man. I think he goes, wait, they fake the run. Let me go find work in the middle of the field. And if you watch Mac Jones here, again, a little bit of like we just talked about, he's looking downfield, but I think it's all BS. He's just waiting for Ramondre to sneak out. Look how quickly he gets to it, Paul. You tell me if you think I'm right or wrong here.
100%. He was never going anywhere else.
He was never going anywhere else. He, as soon as, in fact, I think he's looking at four, and as soon as he saw four go back this way, he went, oh, man, nobody's covering Ramondre Stevenson.
And back up just a little bit
Chris. Sure.
Watch his lower body and his mechanics, and if you know how he normally throws, he gets to the top of his drop, and he's not readying himself to make a throw downfield. He's just standing there looking there.
He's standing there like he's almost going to throw a screen ball or something like that, right? That's a good eye by you, and you're exactly right. So again, this is New England magic. You know, taking advantage of something they probably saw on film or the fact that they don't stay with the run fake receiver after that and they try to get extra guys back in the middle to cause, you know, tight throwing lanes and play action passes. Now, Michael Fox, 91 Fox, okay, who came from Morgan Fox, excuse me, came from the Rams, he kind of recognizes it as he's going out here. I think he sees, he's got great eyes in the backfield. I think he sees Mac Jones kind of looking, and he tries to, like, help out here. You know, I don't think this is his coverage responsibility. I don't. I mean, I it would be new for me to think the defensive tackle's got the back out of the backfield. No. I think you just got a smart football player who kind of saw, like, the quarterback and the running back having a little eye connection there. And then there goes Ramondre Stevenson down the sideline for a big run. And to me, that's just the New England magic. Again, not always pretty. It's not the greatest show on turf, but it's like, all right, wait, we got in the flow of the game. We're getting this when we do this formation and this when we do this formation. All right, let's start dialing up the plays we liked against this stuff. And that's what makes them good. And Ramondre Stevenson changes their team.
Oh, he's pretty good, right?
He changes their team.
Might be the best back on the team.
Yeah, I think he is. For my money, that's who I would give the ball to him. When he's really good in the pass game, coming from Oklahoma. He's a good power running back, just like Damian Harris, except he's got a little more shake to him than Damian Harris. He can make people miss. I think he is their best running back.
And we're going to see a run play here coming up, Chris. And just to set it up, I want to compliment them on their commitment to the running game, because it's not like they're killing it in the running game.
Right.
You made a very good point. They're getting better.
Yeah.
It's improving, and it's done well.
Right.
But Harris and Stevenson, 25 carries for 92 yards, okay?
Yeah, right.
Less than 4 yards per carry by NFL standards is not that good.
Right.
But they keep doing it. They're committed to getting those attempts.
They are. They are committed to it. They, you know, they're keeping the broader picture of the game, you know, always at the front of their mind, which is, we know we have a good defense. We do have a young quarterback.
Yep. Yes.
We're not that talented a receiver to think we're going to be able to just go out and throw it 45 times and carve people up.
Right.
So, it's again, this is why they're the New England Patriots and he's Bill Belichick, because they know how to manage a game better than anybody in football.
Same drive.
Yep.
I show third and two. This says third and one. Bottom line,
either way,
third and short on the same drive.
Yeah, third and short on the same drive. Okay. Let me see if I get to this here. All right. So what you're going to see here, this is, again, one of the three running plays I told you about. Man-to-man coverage, once again, from Carolina. And what do we got? Five guys on the line of scrimmage. Another four guys right behind it. That's nine. And then a Dante Jackson playing man-to-man on this receiver right here. So you have 10 guys in the tackle box.
It's a lot.
What's a good play? Let's pin them all inside and go outside.
There you go.
Why try to block all these guys inside?
Because you can't.
When we can just, like, have two guys just be a shield and stop everybody. So they're going to run with, you know, a toss crack play back in the Gruden offense, or what we would call this 99 Philly. I don't know why. There was something to do with Philly there. But it's going to be blocked down. It's going to be blocked down. And then you're going to see pulling guards off of it. And it's going to be pulling tackle, excuse me, Isaiah Wynn. Okay, and I messed up the blocking just a little. But you could see it's blocked down, pulling guard, fullback leading. And you got all those people stuck inside. And now they got two free blockers out on the edge. And it's, I mean, this is easy living.
Perfect.
Ramondre Stevens runs through the hole. Nobody touches him. The first guy that touches him is a safety 12 yards down the field, and he stiffs arm for another few yards. And now it's first and goal at the 3 yard line. That's just, again, them knowing, them coaching it the right way, you know, them being brilliant that way. And that's where New England gets really dangerous.
And I think we have one more ground game here. A second quarter late, New England up 7-6. Now it's not third and one, but third and three.
Yeah, and this was the other run right here. And this is like, 34 double, if you want to call it. They want to get double teams across the board and then work up to the second level. It's basically everybody come off the line of scrimmage straight forward and try to mash people. And where, again, I think this came into, like, they knew they were going to get this. We actually wanted to show this defensive alignment a few weeks ago when the Panthers played the Dallas Cowboys, because they did it, and it became an issue. You know, you hear me say sometimes, when you play man-to-man against a running team, right, and now all of a sudden they got motions and things and all that, guys aren't sure of, wait, I got this gap, I got that gap. Oh, wait, I'm supposed to be covering the tight end man-to-man, but you also want me responsible for the C-gap? That's a little hard to do. I can't do both. And that's where they got Carolina in a little bit of a bind here. And this is a play they came back to. And in fact, I think they've run this play two times in a row here for big gains. But you can see right here, you got man coming across. You got man right here, right? You got the safety, Jeremy Chinn, manned up on the tight end, right? He's responsible for the C-gap, right? But he's worried about the tight end who steps out to block the defense end, so he steps out a little bit. Because, you know, he doesn't know. It could be block, chuck the guy. He could go out in a route. So he's got to kind of follow him. He does that, all right? And here you go. Look at where Jakobi Meyers is. Jakobi Meyers, I just want to get this all done, so fake the speed sweep. Jakobi Meyers is here. Stephon Gilmore is covering him man-to-man. All right, and what they want to do is they want to get this to where they can get, you know, they're hoping to get the right guard or right tackle up here to cut somebody off in the second level, Jacoby Myers to block that safety, and they want Ramondre Stevenson one-on-one with a corner. That's what every team in football wants. A really good running back against a corner is a win because you're going to run him over. He's going to do something special that way. It doesn't quite play out that way here, but you could see it's body on body, and boom, it ends up being a big game. And this is like those two run plays get called multiple times throughout the day. And there's even another one. I want to say it was the next play. I'm mad Pete didn't pick that one because it was sexier. And but either way, you got my drift there. That's New England, great coaching. New England knowing who they are as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, on the offensive side of the ball, it's efficient. They execute. And their defense is special.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing. The
Mac Jones, Mac 12 out of 18, a buck 39, one touchdown, one pick. Kind of perfect for what they're looking for from him. We have a question here from Caleb Hawkeye, KJ1. We appreciate anybody who writes in with Hawkeye in there, Chris. Got to point that
we'll
out.
Yeah, give him a little love. Okay, fine.
Mac isn't throwing a lot of touchdowns per game, but seems to have adopted the Tom Brady style of don't force the ball, live to die another day.
Yep.
Any thoughts there? Any similarities you see?
I think that's a great point by him. I do. I think, you know, this is early career Tom Brady. This is early career. Like, manage the game. You know, don't take a chance. We got a good defense. We're going to be able to run the ball. We'll tell you when we need you to make some big-time Tom Brady throws.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on with Mac Jones right now, no doubt about it. And, you know, he doesn't have the arm Brady has, but still, good arm, can do a lot of different things. He's so smart. He's got great feel in the pocket. And, yeah, like I said, you better watch out for New England because they got it going.
You mentioned Ramondre Stevenson, their fourth-round pick out of Oklahoma at running back. One question here, Chris, that fits in well. John Hassan said, Chris and Paul, can you tell me about how great Christian Barmore has been for the Pats lately? Fucked up the play multiple times against the Panthers. Pats had one of their better drafts in 21.
I like John. He's obviously been listening to the pod. I appreciate that. You're right. A lot of fuck up the plays for Christian Barmore. Barmore? I'm probably messing his name. I think it's Barmore. I think you're right. He doesn't even start for them, right? Because he's young. He's a rookie. He's got to, like, you know, dominate the world first before you start New England, before you can be a starter. You know, they got some big guys up front. As far as Devon Godshaw is a good player, Lawrence Guys is still a good player. So they got big guys that way. But here's what I think impresses me about Barmore. Barmore, obviously, he can play nose tackle. He can play five technique. He can play three technique. He's got versatility, but has real power of a true nose tackle if you want it. Mm. For my money, what I would say to John's question, I think he's the best pass rusher on their team.
Really?
There's nobody to me over the last 4 or 5 weeks that create more issues for the quarterback than Barmore. I know Judon's the pass rusher and off the edge. But, again, this is where it's like, you know, these guys don't get justice. There's so many plays where he pushes the pocket into the quarterback's face and it ends up being an incompletion or just an ugly pass or whatever because he's kind of ruined the play that way. So he's got a great blend of, you know, strength, pretty good quickness for his size. I want to say he's about 315, somewhere in that range. The future definitely looks bright for him.
And we turn to our friends at PointsBet now, thinking about the Patriots. Good matchup this weekend against the Browns. The over-under is 45. New England favored by 1.5. What do you think?
I was surprised to see New England was going to be favored.
Yeah.
I didn't know how that was going to go. To me, this is one of the tough picks of the week here. There's no doubt about it.
How about the over-under?
Here, so I'm going to hit them both here. Okay. I'm going to hit them both. Let me just break it down a little bit. This is the first thing that comes to my mind without diving too deep into the next week's games quite yet. Cleveland, no Nick Chubb, out with COVID. Kareem Hunt may be back. If back, it's a calf strain, probably not going to be totally himself. Cleveland, yes, good running team. We know that. They can run the ball just about anybody. New England's big enough up front that they can. I think they can stop the run on just about anybody, let alone you've heard me say Cleveland is a little predictable in their pass and what they do off of that. And to me, that plays into New England's favor. Okay, yeah, it's run. It's going to be tough stopping you. But we got a pretty good feel of how you're going to attack us off the pass game, too, off of that. And we'll have people in the right areas where you're trying to throw it off of play action. So I look at that to be interesting, and I can't wait to see this. To me, this is like arguably the game of the week, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Cleveland clearly more talented maybe than not maybe. They're more talented. But then the other aspect I look at it, you go pass rush yards, over under 125.5. As I sit here right now, I'm going to say over. For sure.
That would be well over their average for the season.
I know. And, you know, but don't get caught up in the poorness of the first 3 or 4 weeks running the game.
That's fair.
It's been the last 4 or 5 weeks where I've seen it slowly start to come alive. Not a lot of Cleveland's a speed front. They want to play speed football. So they could get pushed around by New England's offensive line for sure, let alone – what did we just talk about? New England, when they know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know, Cleveland's another one of those teams where I'm going to go, you know, they might be able to get away with it because they have enough talent at some point when they really get a hold of that scheme, but it's a little predictable. It's a little predictable. So, you know, I think, I'm going over with the rushing yards. And as of right now, I'm leaning picking New England.
Okay.
Yeah.
It certainly sounded like
it. Yeah.
And they are favored by 1.5.
Yeah.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, before we fully pull the train in the station here, I don't want this pod to get over without addressing Jordan Love a little bit.
Yeah, cool.
Made his first start in Kansas City against the Chiefs. Obviously, didn't go well for the team. We were both watching him closely. What did you see?
You know, I think the thing that – nothing special. Mm-hmm. I think that's the first thing I'll just say. That would be my banner statement. Like, again, I'm into just the eye test. I'm not expecting him to carve people up in his first game ever in a tough spot. You know, halfway through the year where you haven't got reps with the number one offense all that much, that's tough. I've been there. You know, you feel like, you know, you're like, man, I forgot how to ride a bike here for a little bit. So that's not easy. But, yeah, you've heard me say before, even when Zach Wilson threw 3 interceptions in the game or Trevor Lawrence, I just went, man, but there were still some throws and some plays where I went, oh, I like that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure I've seen that from Jordan Love.
Right.
Let alone, like we talked about on Monday, some throws where you go, I don't care who you are. You don't miss that throw.
Two things that bothered me, and it's only one game. It's his first game.
Yep.
But it's all we have to go on.
Yeah.
The guys who really do it at that level, anticipation and accuracy.
Yes.
Little bit late and
a lot
of inaccuracy.
A lot of inaccuracy.
You expect a guy in his first start just to throw a couple picks where he throws it right to somebody because he got fooled.
Yeah.
That's part of the deal. He didn't really see that.
No.
But consistently the ball didn't go where it was supposed to in terms of accuracy or on time.
No, I think that's
troubling.
Very, very fair. And what I add on to that too is, you know, as I watch the film and I rewind plays and I watch, like, ball just doesn't come out of his hand clean in very, very many throws.
Right.
A lot of them are wobbly, not
spinning.
Right. They're spinning very weird. And again, you know, one aspect I told you, I think on Monday too, is, you know, there was going to be some throws where I wanted to show to just go, like, get in the proper position and throw the football. You're not Aaron Rodgers to where you can jump in the air and turn your body and no feet are on the ground and throw the ball to a 5-yard out route. You know, that bothered me a little bit too, but either way, I guess the look overall was not that, you know, jaw-dropping to me.
And we have a new category here. Are you ready?
Yeah.
To close it out?
Oh, baby, I forgot.
Play of the fucking day.
Play of the fucking day. Look at you. Look at you swearing. How dare you swear in my podcast?
what do we got here?
You have to swear. Well, you and I were watching this together, right?
Yeah, yes.
I'm
glad you picked this one.
I, on the get-go, was like, oh, it's Cover 3. And I remember when we watched it live, you're like, but it was weird. Like, it didn't seem right. Like, are you sure it was Cover 3?
And this is Rams-Titans.
Rams-Titans.
It's the second pick that
Kevin Byard picked 6 right here, right?
And he's lined up as kind of like a deep half-ish
safety.
Right.
They like to kind of make everything look like quarters, right? So I'm going to stand up here. They like to make everything look like quarters, straight back, or –
You know, or they'll make it look like this, and he plays, and all of a sudden it's cover two to this side, and it's quarters this way. Or it'll be cover three, rotate the single, he comes down, he goes out, and they play true cover three. Yeah. They're very good in almost every play. Like, you get up to the line of scrimmage, and you go, I'm not sure which one of those it's going to be. They all kind of look the same. It's cover three. So I was right, but you were right, too. Because he was not in the place he was supposed to be.
He just went where he sensed
he's
he should
instinct,
go.
He's instinctive.
I think he told Michelle something like that after
he said,
the game.
He said, I wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Right? And so what they're going to do here is they're a little bit of like a bare front, right? It's five across on the defensive line. And what they want to do is go cover three, cover three, cover three. He's curl flat over here. He's a zone dropper in the middle. Okay, and they want this guy to get out here to be curl flat over here, and he just comes down in the middle like the linebacker and plays that zone area. That's what they were trying to do. I mean, that's what they're trying to do, but as you'll see here, right, he kind of just floated out there right away. So you could see this linebacker down here on the right here who jams Hunter Henry, Tyler Higbee, one of those H tight ends. He jams him, and then he's going to try to get back out here to curl flat. Byard should be sitting right here for this guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it was as he was coming down. It sounds like he's a film studier and he's incredibly instinctive. You know, as he comes down, I think he kind of just follows. He follows Matthew Stafford's eyes. Look, his eyes start to go there and he kind of just goes, I'm going to go over there.
Yeah.
The hell with it. And he makes a phenomenal play.
Yeah.
And now they're up 14-0. And we don't ever have to see if Ryan Tannehill and the passing offense can carry
team
because now they can kind of just manage the game and play conservatively and, cause some issues for the Rams.
Absolutely.
Rams team.
Play that game. Reminded me just watching him and kind of thinking about how he was just going to where he sensed he should. I think 07 in Atlanta, I went to a Falcons-Steelers game and I got the same feeling about watching Polamalu. I'm like, those other 10 guys are doing this. I think he's just going where he feels like he should.
Polamalu is the all-time leader in that.
Right?
I mean, the all-time leader.
You other guys play that defense the way it's lined up.
I got to play scout team.
Yeah.
Safety.
What?
Troy Polamalu.
When
I was with the Tennessee Titans.
What happened to the other backups?
Playing safety? Kerry Collins, he was the quarterback, and he was like, Chris has got a good feel for Polamalu and how he disguises stuff and what he does and all that.
Let's put Chris
in. So they let me go back there and do all this crazy crap and do it. It was a lot of fun. But, yes, he was hard to game plan because you had no – he disguised things and went to areas where you were like, oh, wait, that's where they coached him to go, but he was over here. That's crazy. Yeah. And then every now and then he'd just do whatever the hell he felt.
That's what it looked like.
He'd go, I got a feel for what they're doing. I'm going. See ya.
Right.
And you'd go, whoa, you can't do that. But he had a great feel and did it a lot and did it well.
Other 10 guys were pretty good too.
Yeah. That was some good defenses for sure.
Yeah. There's a show.
There's a show. That's a show, that's as a Paul show. Likes to say. Appreciate everybody. Appreciate the questions. Hope you learned something today, football-wise.
I did.
I could have picked a better play, that second run play for the Patriots. Self-scouting myself.
Jerk.
I could have gone better there.
Suck.
So that bothers me, you know, but every now and then you throw an incompletion, and okay, you just got to battle back.
Even
right?
Colt was 22 out of 26.
Yeah,
I
know,
he
right.
missed four.
A fellow Longhorn, he could throw an incompletion. I can too. Yeah. Subscribe, rate, review. Thursday, PFTPM, Chris Sims Unbuttoned Collaboration, Picks Podcast, that's coming. All right, thanks for checking in on What the Fuck Happened Wednesday. Chris Sims Unbuttoned, presented by Under Armour. Paulie, you the man.
Well done today.
See you, buddy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.